Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine, part two for this January 27th, 2023. 10:32 on the clock, and you got your host, James, here. And I am joined right now by our good friend, Craig Braun, Wisconsin Rapids Public School Superintendent. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
Good to see you, sir.
Good to see you.
Still always looking good. The guy comes in here every time, outdressing me, outstyling me. No, you look good, Craig. It's nice to see you. And you brought a friend with you. We have Jennifer Wilhorn with us, 4K Administrator. Good to meet you, Jen. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
It's great to have you guys in studio today. Thanks a lot for being here. Appreciate it. A lot to talk about, so let's get right into it. Let's get into the Pitch Early Learning Center and explain to the audience what that is and some of the details of that.
Absolutely. So what I'll do is just give a little preemptive information about location and use of a what would be considered a you know, previously vacant or minorly used school, because we recently transitioned Pitch, which of course was an elementary back in the day, here in Rapids, and then was closed, and those kids were dispersed to other elementaries that we currently operate, and then the Boys and Girls Club had leased that a portion of that building for quite some time. And which was great, but their move to their new building then left that building vacated, which provided the district an opportunity to have some pretty significant discussions around how we better utilize that, and then how we potentially consolidate services, that being early childhood and four-year-old kindergarten. And that's where the conversation around, you know, what that kind of means programming-wise and collaboration-wise, and why that's an asset to the district, and just point out the fact that Pitch is pretty much fully used now 5 days a week as a early childhood center. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jen for some more specifics.
Sure. We were able, when we transitioned to Pitch Early Learning Center, to move four of our 4K sites to that building. And then we have four sections of our special education early childhood at that site as well, which provides maximum opportunities for collaboration between those two programs. We're able to streamline some of our support services. So things like occupational therapy, speech and language, those kind of programmings can occur in that single setting. And then our early childhood teachers are able to collaborate with the 4K teachers so that we have just excellent services for our students.
That's fantastic. It's also part of what is encouraging to me about this is this is an issue nationwide. You know, you see in Wisconsin a lot of this, certainly, and in the Midwest you do. But throughout the whole nation, I'm seeing stories of this, of a school closing, and not just what do you do with the kids, but what you do with the services that that school provided, or what you do with the building. You know, that is a big crux, too. Most communities are sitting there with a ghost building or with kids in flux. And as somebody who was moved around a ton growing up, and I would be, we'd be learning math in this class. I go to another school, they're done with math. It's rough. It's not easy to flip school to school to school, like those kind of things. Thinking of that as a kid, to be able to do that, and the transition is that much smoother and that much more familiar for them, the routine of it. We all understand the kids need routine, that a lot of these basic things that they're kind of deprived of in these situations. Sounds like you guys have worked as best as we can a way to make this as smooth as possible for these kids.
Yeah, there's kind of two schools of thought on that, because we also still operate some 4K programming at other elementaries, that being Grant, Woodside is a couple of examples. And the reason behind that thought process was those schools and the clientele they serve aren't quite as closely associated with just flatly the geographic location of Pitch Elementary, or the former Pitch Elementary, which is now the Early Learning Center. And just for quick clarity's sake, early childhood is what references students with special needs that are like 3, 4, and 5 years old. And the bulk of those that we serve are 3 and 4 at that Pitch facility. And then 4K, of course, everybody knows, because that's been around for quite some time now, 4-year-old kindergarten. But so that idea is, there's two schools of thought in that. One being, if I'm 4 years old and attending the elementary school that I'm going to attend through kindergarten, first grade, second grade, all the way to fifth grade, there's some benefits to that and technically less of a transition. The other would be the idea that there's benefits to having kids collectively and cohesively in one location for all of the reasons you mentioned. In addition, one of the things that I think is less obvious to parents or community members, and that is the benefit for staff and the benefit for, again, the cohesiveness of services. So when you have things like You know, early childhood admittedly is limited. There's not, you know, we don't have 400 early childhood kids. It's not enough to warrant, you know, a lot of 1.0 FTE class, or pardon me, staff hires and so forth. So that tells you that we're going to have to figure out how to piece things together. And so if you can consolidate that, and provide services, kids and families are actually getting you know, more bang for their buck, and the benefit to staff of being all in that building with early childhood and 4K being able to collaborate, you know, anytime for the most part is hugely beneficial.
You don't have to do a lot of digging to come across that. And as soon as I saw that, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to talk about this, because I'm going to say something very controversial. I love kids. Kids are great. They're our future. You know, I think we all understand that the majority of us is a society, but we don't take enough time to talk about the people who are spending so much time with our kids and teaching our kids. We talk about teachers, they're like offensive linemen in football, man. The only time we seem to talk about teachers is when something wrong happens. We don't give credit, we don't take the consideration, so many of these things that we just take lightly. Oh, the kids are moving around. We're focusing about the kids moving around. Well, what about the staff? What about these guys? Well, their routine is kind of thrown in flux here, too. And then certainly services that they like to do. They got into this job. Nobody got into teaching to become a Rockefeller. You get into this because you care about kids. You care about the cause and everything. So, well, what do I do with this? To have these things lined up. And to be able to take care of these things is great. And then, of course, obviously, to be able to offer them to children. All this is a really good system, a really good way of going, but it didn't happen overnight, I imagine. Took a lot of people to work on this and make this happen, and probably years of planning and that. How did that go about, and how has it been, like, the results, like, once you see them? Jennifer, I'll let you...
Sure. So you're right. We did start talking about this several years ago, and it was a collaborative effort between myself as the 4K director and then our director of special education at the time. And so we started to dream about how that facility could be best be used. A lot of tours, a lot of meeting with other people in that area to talk about how we could best utilize it. And then moving forward, it was interesting because we were taking early childhood teachers and 4K teachers that had been at different locations, and we wanted to bring them together to form a new school and a new staff. And those kinds of relationships don't develop overnight. It was really purposeful, the team building and the work that we did, because we know that in order to serve our students as best we can, we need to have the best staff relationships and develop a common philosophy so that we're able to move forward together. So the last year and a half, there's been a real focus from our PITCH staff on how we do that. And of course, we always think about the teachers, but you know, we can't forget those other people like the custodian, our food service, all our librarian. All of those people have had to come together with a common philosophy for how we best serve our students and then also our families. So we have these young students, and they're very important, but we also know that we're only part of their day. Mm-hmm. The rest of their day, they're with their families in their home environment, and how do we provide support to the parents, to the grandparents, to the caregivers that are working with these students outside. So to that end, we are very excited. We're starting a new program that's going to be starting up in just a week or so called FAST, which is all about bringing families together in the evening. They're going to have meals together. There's going to be some parent education. There's going to be time for students to have activities. And it's all about how do we support our families and our students together.
There's so many moving parts when it comes to this subject, even just the normal basically taking your kid to school kind of thing and all that. Then you add on all these other things and all these other moving parts to get people on the same page and to get a community on that same page. That's not easily done. Like, way to be. Like, that's awesome, you guys. That's really cool to see. And it's only growing stronger, I imagine, the longer this goes and the more time we have to be more familiar with a lot of this. Teachers being on the same page with each other is great, but also teachers being able to have each other's back, like being able to share not just information, but just even a simple, how's your day going? You know, like being able to do that is really cool to see, too. That's a nice added part of this. And with all that being said, what are the challenges going forward with this? What are the things that you guys are looking not only as yourselves, but on the community to kind of maybe help with some of the heavy lifting going forward?
Well, sure. I mean, we always want our communities to support our youngest learners. You know, sometimes it's easy for people to see, you know, the high school is very visible, mm-hmm. high school sports, high school theater, mm-hmm. very visible in our community. But those students don't end up in high school, you know, by accident.
Yeah.
So we would love to have a community that really supports and understands the importance of our earliest learners and their needs. We are constantly, you know, working to have our students learn through play. We know that that's the work of children. And also their social emotional needs and how that they're able to function in their relationships even as early learners and what that means for how they're going to grow up and function as they get older into middle school and high school. So we're really looking at healthy academics, healthy social emotional, and healthy relationships even as they're very young. One of our new projects that we are so proud that we have the support of our community and our school board is we will have a new playground at the Pitch Early Learning Center. That playground was designed years ago for an elementary building that had older students. So we have a playground that's been designed for the needs of 3, 4, and 5-year-olds and then also will be fully accessible for our students with special needs. Mm. So students that maybe are in wheelchairs, students who have maybe some issues with communication and letting us know their needs, that playground will be fully accessible to them, and then it will also be fenced in for ultimate safety so that we don't need to worry about whether students are outside of that playground zone. So installation should happen this spring or summer, depending on how the winter months go for us, and we're very excited to use that next year.
Well, I am a little grumpy that I'm too old to play on these new play sets. That got me. I'm saying that because I have nothing else I could say. That just got me. Did you happen to hear the story up in Minnesota? There was some kids. They're just in a grade school. They're going to having recess all the time, and they're noticing that the kids in wheelchairs, they don't get to play on the equipment. And it's Minnesota. It's this time of year. I mean, it's already hard enough to play out there, let alone if you're in a wheelchair. These kids took it on themselves to go to their teacher and say, we should have playground equipment for them. And the teacher's like, well, it's like $6,000. Kids like, so? Like, these kids, like, they didn't blink an eye. They did raffles. They did, like, bake sales, all this stuff. Ended up raising the money. They're building the equipment this spring. Like, these kids that make this stuff happen. Like, we've done so many stories like this, and our community has a lot of this too, and it just it never gets old to me. Like, it's just that all kids are amazing, and every generation has had amazing kids. There's something about this young generation though, man. They're getting things done. They're not waiting for us to move out of the way and let them come in here. They're just getting stuff done from all of these ages. It's really cool to see. We're speaking with Craig Broren, Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools Superintendent, and Jennifer Wilhorn, 4K Administrator. We're going to take a very quick commercial break, come back, have some more conversation on Morning Magazine at WFHR. We're sitting here having some great conversation with Craig Broren, Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools Superintendent, and Jennifer Wilhorn, 4K Administrator. Again, thanks for being here, guys. We were talking a little bit, we're talking a lot about Pitch Early Learning Center. I would like to touch on the community sites, if you don't mind, Jen.
Sure. So Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools has an excellent relationship with our community sites. And so we do have 4K sections at Building Blocks Learning Center, the YMCA, Wood County Head Start, and then also St. Lawrence. And so we work closely with our partners to have 4K sites in those different areas because we want to be sure that we're meeting the needs of our families. And so we have options for our families when they register for 4K for the site that would work best for them.
It's really helpful to be able to do that location wise, especially for so many families that can be a real divide. I don't have the time to do this, or I don't, you know, it's out of my way, or something like that. That's really unique to be able to offer. Is there ways, if I'm in a certain part of an area, I can find that information of like what one's closest to me?
Absolutely. We have a lot of information on our district website. There's a section devoted to 4K, and all the sites are listed there. And then when families register their children, they're able to select their choices, their top choices on the registration form. And we work as best we can to honor those choices. A lot of our selection is based on transportation because we do provide busing for all of our 4K students. So we have to factor transportation in, but we always try to work with our families to honor their choices.
You know, my kids are all in their 20s. My youngest is 22 and everything. And it just, like, even just saying that out loud feels weird. But I can still remember taking her to kindergarten and some of the things that they were doing and seeing them do that and enjoying that, like, kind of peek into that world before I was shooed off and everything. And she didn't want me around anymore, nothing like that. When it comes to the programming that goes with 4K, I don't think we get an opportunity to look into that very often and see that and hear about that. Do you mind if we talk a little bit about the programming with the 4K schools?
Sure, absolutely. So like I mentioned earlier, we are play-based. We want our students to engage in the work of play and to do that learning through a playful environment. That being said, we do still touch on some of those pre-academic skills. So we're working on things like shapes and colors and letters and alphabet and some early math skills as well. But we do try to do that through playful activities, through small groups, through songs, through stories. We want, our ultimate goal is that when our students leave 4K that they feel confident as learners and as part of our school system. We want them to head to kindergarten knowing that this is something that they can do.
Certainly the point of 4K is to be able to do those things, but also to make sure that not only do the kids have a chance to kind of get an early taste of what school is like, for parents to understand a little of this and how hard it is for parents to let their kids go to school and everything. Some are pushing their kids. No, I'm just kidding. But all these things that are difficult can be, especially if you're a first-time parent or you're, you know, just a young kid and everything. I think it's great for us that don't have kids in school, that haven't been a lot of this, to hear this stuff. Got a lot of outside noise nowadays about what's going on in classrooms from people who haven't been in a classroom in 20, 30 years. It's nice to hear this stuff. To many of us that have a rational brain, we understand that these are pretty much the basic things that have been going on and stuff. But not only is it fun to hear, I'll be honest, I think of little kids doing this stuff, and it just brings a smile to my face. But I think that part of things, too, it's nice to kind of quiet that down a little bit. It doesn't hurt. Are there some things as far as the programming goes that are newer that you've enjoyed or that the teachers have enjoyed there and stuff, because I know we're always progressing with the way that we're able to teach kids or the different techniques that we're using.
Sure. So one of the things that we implemented just this year is some new math programming. So we looked at the resources that our kindergarten through fifth grade students were using and learned that they did have a portion of that that was appropriate for our 4K students. And so they have been implementing things called Number Corner and Workplaces, which Number Corner is a way that we can get those early math skills in a group setting. So through calendar, through counting together, those types of things. And then the workplaces are small group centers that the students are able to work on to kind of reinforce those skills. And teachers are able to adapt that to meet the needs of their students. You know, some students may need individual practice, some may happen in a small group, but they're able to use that flexibly so that we can introduce some of those early math concepts so that, again, students are headed to kindergarten feeling confident in what they're doing.
Kind of a question for both of you here. When it, we see a lot of the statistics usually at the end of the year, the beginning of the year, of where maybe a state or a county is in education, the math numbers here, the literature there. And then you see, of course, the nation numbers, how we compare to other countries and all of this. And I think there's good and bad you can take from all that. And there's so much gray area involved in all of that. But we see these numbers regardless. How do they affect you all in the industry, in the field, when you see these things? And you may see, let's say, just locally here, if you saw that the math numbers were going down, does that make you reassess maybe what you're doing with the classroom or in the classroom? And I don't mean to ask such a big, broad question. I apologize for that. But it's a topic that comes up quite a bit, and I don't get a chance to talk to people in the field very often. Does it affect what you guys do that much? Or is it something that you kind of, well, I'm in the field, I know what these kids are doing with, and every kid is an individual case, so I kind of stick with what we're doing.
You know, that it's an excellent question. And one of the pieces that you might hear, and I don't know that I've heard it locally, you know, in the last several years while I've been here in Rapids, but you hear on occasion, well, that the school board doesn't even ever talk about academic achievement. And I think that's ironic. It's ironic insofar as you lay out that conversation you just laid out. There isn't a day that goes by, and in my job, which admittedly is probably the most removed from direct student contact of any job in our organization, don't think about academic achievement and what kids are doing. But we also have to be cognizant of the fact, and this was the piece that was striking me, and I was hoping I was going to be able to jump in and include at some point, was as Jen's talking about in early childhood and 4K, about what's developmentally appropriate for a kid. And if I'm talking to anybody out there that's a parent or a grandparent, regardless if your kids are 2 and 5 or 52 and 56, we're human beings. And human beings develop at different levels and different rates and have attributes and skills that, to varying degrees. But of course, we all bring something to the table. When you're talking about early childhood and 4K, for example, as the focus of today's conversation, that is more true than when you're 40 or than when you're 18, yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, clearly, there's a development that takes place, arguably, until you're probably, 16, 17, 18-ish, depending. And for me, being a guy and kind of an idiot, maybe 24, 25, right, before you get your head on your shoulders.
You're not alone.
Yeah. So I would point that out. And here's the backdrop of that. So do we look at these things and be like, oh, my God, we're in a crisis. What do we do? No, you can't. That would be ludicrous. The reason being is, you may not know. Maybe your snapshot is too short. Maybe the time that's elapsed is too short. Perhaps it is a human being at that moment in time, if we take this as individual people, which of course our kids are, that didn't do so well on that particular assessment. Mm-hmm. What are we assessing, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so it is that long-term trajectory, which also then allows an opportunity for the public or those that are not in the know to reflect on historical achievement data and be like, oh my God, this is just atrocious, which might be true. It also might not be true, or it might be a confluence of factors, which is what reality tells you.
Right.
So a number of things happen to impact that. Primarily, we're humans. Secondarily, in education, you're not going to turn on a dime in a brief moment, like in 6 months, a year, even 2 years, and be like, oh, what we're doing is clearly not working, unless it's a total catastrophe, which that is very, very rare. You're going to be like, okay, what's going on here? What can we tweak? What are we doing that we should be doing? What are we doing we shouldn't be doing? Is it individual student issues? Is it societal or trend issues? Is it a combination of those factors? And you work through that. But one thing you wouldn't do, which ironically our state it has done in the past, and that is continue to change the assessment, for example, to change how you're doing it, because how in the heck would any human being know what there's no basis of comparison there. And so one of the pieces that I guess I'll end with is the idea that, you know, this can be portrayed as, oh, well, yeah, of course, he's just trying to make the school district look good, blah, blah, blah. They're really not. They're doing horrible things for kids at that school. Mm. Come on. I mean, that's the craziest thing you would ever think anybody would say, number one. And number two, the idea that the state has moved the target in terms of assessments multiple times in my career is 100% legitimate. The idea that kids, again, operate because they're human beings, too, is 100% legitimate. The idea that tests are no more than a snapshot in time. And as a former science nerd, I'm a current science nerd, I suppose, too. Mm-hmm. I know how important data is. I know how important it is to be reflective. But on the same hand, if we're going to live and die by the performance of a kid or a group of kids on one stupid state level assessment, that's crazy. And then what we do is politicize that nonsense, right?
Yeah.
And so I think at the center of it, the question is, what are we doing for kids on a regular basis that help kids be decent human beings? And test them isn't a thing that I'd throw out there, right?
Yeah.
But knowing what we're doing and how we're operating makes all kinds of sense, and then making informed decisions as time progresses. That is of utmost importance when we're talking specifically about early childhood, because there is mounds and mounds and mounds and mounds of research evidence, as well as anecdotal evidence, that early intervention and appropriate intervention is the best intervention. And you can talk about that in education. You can talk about that in behavior and societal trends in terms of drug use and or risky behaviors. And that's not because when you're 3, you're exhibiting those things, but that is that if we intervene when you're 3, 4, or 5, I'm probably not going to have to spend as much time, money, energy, and have as many entities involved as though we're rectifying those issues when you're 15, 16, or 20. And that's common sense, which is why that investment in particular in early childhood education is super important.
Very well said. Fair. I wish we just needed another minute. We could have just ended this episode right there. That was perfect, Greg. Thank you for that. This is part of the reason why we appreciate you being in this position. Jennifer, we've talked about a couple of things. I wanted to go back to the FAST program you mentioned. Mm-hmm. It sounded really cool and really interesting. How can people register or find out more about that?
So currently we have our families registered at Pitch. And so this is our first year of doing it. So it's a little bit of a trial for us.
Yeah.
So we are hopeful that next year we will be able to continue that. We were fortunate to be able to fund it through a grant. And so hopefully we'll be able to continue that in the future. And we're excited about what that means for our families.
And if people have follow-up questions, Jennifer, they want to know more about some of the things we've talked about today, is there a way to reach you?
Absolutely. My contact information is on the WRPS website. For families that are interested in learning more about the 4K program, we do have an information session coming up on Thursday, February 23rd at 5 p.m. at the Pitch Early Learning Center, and that will be about all of our 4K. We will have representatives from our community sites and our other WRPS sites as well there that night. And then registration for 4K starts on March 1st, so we're excited to see so many of our families and students coming out to register.
Craig, if people have follow-up questions for you, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, I'm easy to find. If you Google me, you find all kinds of contact information, but 715-424-6701. And, of course, my email address and whatnot is all on the district website as well.
And you can always go to WRPS.org as well, the Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools website. Thank you both for the time and what you do for our communities. Keep up the great work and have a good weekend.
Thanks, James.
Thank you.
A big thank you to everybody out there, all of our guests that joined us this week, and of course all of you for listening. And a special thank you to Pam Hilke with the amazing scheduling she does week in and week out. We'll have more for you next week right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.